Hey guys, I'm Andrew Davidson, a prominent game enthusiast, highly sought after dinner guest, and recent recipient of a brand spanking new copy of Podcasting for Dummies. And welcome to Season 3 of History and Game, a season that promises to be the perfect blend of Neo in the third act of The Matrix and Neo in the first act of the second Matrix. Thanks for joining me today. Stay tuned and enjoy. It began with a safety test. On April 26th, 1986, at precisely 1:23 a.m., the invisible and magical dance of reactivity shattered, killing 31 individuals and significantly harming the health of 3.5 million people. Men, women, children, babies. The accident at Chernobyl nuclear plant, which is located near Pripyat in Soviet-controlled Ukraine, released acute airborne radioactive contaminants in a 9-mile radius, along with residual radiation all over Europe and the USSR. According to the World Health Organization, the accident at Chernobyl is the world's worst ever civil nuclear incident. Nuclear reactions, much like life, require a delicate balance of increasing and decreasing functions to create homeostasis. In life, we bounce around in the darkened universe, crashing into people from our past, like a water skier crossing a wake of an unfamiliar vessel, like a figure skater crossing and recrossing their partner's tracks in the ice. In a nuclear core, uranium atoms split apart and collide. Reactivity goes up. Without a counterweight, the reactivity never stops rising. In life, mental and physical exhaustion creates an imbalance, a counterweight. These elements are warning signs telling us to slow life down. In a nuclear core, water is used to take heat out of the equation. As it does, it turns to steam. The more steam present, the higher the reactivity, which means more heat, which means more steam, etc., etc. In life, we are at the mercy of cyclical and oppositional binaries. Happiness and sadness, autonomy and determinism, rich and poor, strong and weak. These countermeasures make living a conscious and proactive journey. These binaries coexist because, in life, there wouldn't be any sweet without the sour. For it is the sour that contextualizes the sweet, giving it meaning, allowing us to enjoy it when it's around. In a nuclear core, the vicious cycle of heat and steam is countered by introducing a negative temperature coefficient that uses resistance to decrease reactivity as the temperature increases. And this is the invisible and magical dance that creates our existence, our identity, and a safe and structured chemical reaction designed to power entire civilizations without smoke or flame. The accident at Chernobyl created a 1,000 square mile exclusion zone, an area deemed uninhabitable due to long-lasting radiation. In Ihor Gromotkin's 2016 assessment and report, Gromotkin concludes with an estimation of 20,000 years before the exclusion zone will once again be safely inhabitable. Damn. Despite two massive explosions, Pripyat was not evacuated until days later. The next morning, hundreds of residents fell ill. Some developed headaches, a metallic taste in their mouth, while others experienced uncontrollable fits of vomiting. An estimate of 4,000 residents would end up developing terminal cancer within the year. The children of Pripyat all developed mild to severe thyroid problems. In the years following the accident, nearby areas reported an 85% increase in birth defects abnormalities, and miscarriages. Man, these people suffered. And this is what we think of when we think of Chernobyl. Nuclear explosion, exclusion zone, act of God, situation under control. Chernobyl is a bedtime story about a time that happened long, long ago in a world far, far away. Hell, in 1986, The Cosby Show, Cheers, and Murder, She Wrote were the top three rated TV programs. Shows that, according to a segment of Jay Leno's Jaywalking, most people haven't even heard of. Chernobyl is a bedtime story where, in the end, everything is okay and everything turns out fine. Well, the twist in this bedtime story is that Chernobyl was not an accident. In fact, the events at Chernobyl occurred due to negligence and lies. From the puny night shift crew all the way to the high and glorious seats of the Kremlin. Now, without doing a 40-minute deep dive into the Chernobyl scandal, the story goes something like this. Decades prior to Chernobyl, scientists uncovered a design flaw in the AZ-5 automatic shutdown operation performed when the reactor is behaving oddly, requiring an immediate shutdown. While running a simple test, a test the night crew was unfamiliar with, as these tests were always performed by the day crew, Chernobyl's reactor ended up in a critical and unstable condition. This was due to operator negligence. The AZ-5 automatic shutdown button executes the insertion of control rods into the core. The tips of the rods, back then, were made of graphite. It is important to understand that due to operator negligence, the core wasn't behaving oddly. It had become unstable. The presence of graphite in an unstable core led to Chernobyl's meltdown and eventual explosion. The few scientists that attempted to raise awareness of the AZ-5 design flaw were threatened, beaten, or imprisoned. Papers written about the flaw were either destroyed or heavily redacted. With the multitude of nuclear power plants already built and operational, the USSR found it easier to use intimidation and lies than to spend the hours, manpower, and resources to destroy and rebuild each and every power plant. Such an act would imply that the USSR made a mistake, and if Western cinema has taught us Americans anything, we all know the USSR does not make mistakes. Besides, the AZ-5 design flaw is not a flaw if the specific conditions never occur. To paraphrase the Kremlin's statement regarding the AZ-5 design flaw, why worry about something that's never going to happen? Despite the heroic attempts of scientists, the USSR lied to the scientific community, they lied to the non-scientific community, they lied to themselves. Over 40 years, that lie became the truth, and the truth would forever change the lives of millions of people. What is the cost of lies? It's not that we'll mistake them for the truth. The real danger is that if we hear enough lies, then we no longer recognize the truth at all. Valery Legazov, head officer of the Chernobyl Response Commission. Legazov testified against the USSR by publicly exposing the neglect and malfunction of AZ-5, resulting in the loss of his job, his credentials, his friends and family, and his status within the scientific community. On April 6, 1988, 2 years after Chernobyl, to the date, Legazov committed suicide in his home. Zona, The Secret of Chernobyl, published in 2019 by Rebel Games and designed by Cheez-It. I'm not even going to try to pronounce their names. Sorry guys. As my good buddy Will Wheaton says, in the story of the game, Zona takes place 30 years after the Chernobyl explosion. Now empty, the exclusion zone is overrun with scavenger factions, smuggling research equipment and artifacts for top dollar. However, rumors are growing of an artifact somewhere deep inside Chernobyl. Some rumors say the artifact can fulfill your innermost dreams, while other rumors say the artifact provides psychokinetic powers. Every rumor says that if such an artifact exists, it's worth a hell of a lot of money. Zona is a competitive game with one big and beautiful board, or BBB as I like to call them, because I like BBBs and I cannot lie. You other gamers can't deny. The game also comes with shuffling. Seriously, shuffling. A deck for event cards, a deck for market cards, a deck for item cards, a deck for artifact cards, a deck for rumor cards, a deck for mission cards. Oh, Danny boy. Whew. The plus side to having more decks than the number of times my father looked at me is that their spots are delineated right on the big, beautiful board. I can't explain why, but ever since playing This War of Mine, I love when all the cards fit on the board without upsetting the aesthetic of the game. Okay, alright, I'm losing daylight here. So before I move on, Zona looks good. Top quality artwork and production across the board, pun intended. To quote John Hammond, they spared no expense. Moving along, in Zona, each player picks and plays one of the five scavenger factions. The goal of the game is to be the first player to reach Chernobyl. But before you create even a morsel of thought about how Chernobyl is a super weird theme for a racing game, be advised. Zona is a 2 to 4 hour game. You see, the Chernobyl location is kind of like Mordor. And one does not simply walk into Mordor. Alrighty, you know, I feel like switching it up. Why not? It's season 3. Time to go off book, abandon the program, change the lines. Rather than bore you with each and every intricate game mechanism, I'll explain everything you want to know about Zona by spending the next 4 minutes and 17 seconds not talking about Zona. Ready? I'll start with Talisman. Now, if Talisman was a person, not only would they be old enough to vote, but old enough to grow their own pure white beard when they stomp around at the local mall dressed as Santa Claus every Christmas. Originally published in 1983, Talisman is the embodiment of the old phrase, a oldie but a goodie. With 4 editions and dozens of expansions, Talisman is lauded for bringing a fantasy world, sort of like Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, along with role-playing elements such as collecting items and leveling up to the world of board games. Talisman is a competitive game with cooperative sheets tucked under the frame. Players traverse around the board while staying, more or less, out of each other's way. The goal is to get to a final spot on the board, the Crown of Command. But akin to an RPG, players need to spend time farming items, collecting fate tokens, and leveling up. Despite its simple gameplay and win condition, Talisman is a time-consuming experience. Players spend more than half the game traveling around the outskirts of the board before having a single shred of an iota of a chance to reach the Crown of Command and win the game. Up next is Eldritch Horror. While I absolutely adore games set within Lovecraftian mythos, lately they're like STDs of the board game world. The fun is infectious, but at this point, I am way too old, and there are way too many of them for me to catch them all. However, I do own Eldritch Horror and consider it one of the better Lovecraftian games. Eldritch Horror is a fully cooperative game. Rounds are divided into simple phases. Action phase, where players take actions, gadoi. Encounter phase, where players have events specific to their location. And mythos phase, where the game spawns monsters, increases the doom, and executes various actions that change the state of the board. Despite being fully cooperative, Eldritch Horror is not an easy game to conquer. And done. To wrap things up, Zona is the birth child of Talisman and Eldritch Horror. Rounds are sliced up into phases as players schlep around a board, collecting necessary items, and then, with a bit of luck, winning the game by reaching the final destination. While Zona doesn't present anything new, it does combine two fantastic games, paints on a completely unique and exciting theme, and provides players with a blissful few hours of fun. I am dubious if Zona will ever rise the hierarchy and replace the previously mentioned games, especially Eldritch Horror. Nonetheless, by providing a unique theme, stellar components and artwork, and relatively simple gameplay, Zona, The Secret of Chernobyl, is a solid game. A game that, unlike the April accident at Chernobyl, I want to relive again and again and again. My name is Andrew Davidson. I hope I have given you something to think about.